So coming up, too many disturbing stories, and sorry, still a little tickle in the lungs there. We'll be talking about too many disturbing stories about the Children's Aid Society and the fact that we don't have proper oversight over them, I don't think.
You can listen to Jerry Agar weekdays 9 to noon on NewsTalk1010.com.
You probably heard the story yesterday here or some other places about CAS staff asked to keep cases open to retain funding. That's the headline in the Toronto Star from yesterday. Peel Agency's executive director calls the details in a leaked memo describing service targets unfortunate and lacking of content. This is an ongoing story, and it may be a while before we know what the truth of the story is, but an internal memo from Peel Children's Aid Society Management asks staff not to close any ongoing cases during March as part of a strategy to secure government funding. There's, you know, one thing when you hear stories of government agencies doing things in order to keep their funding up, spending money on projects and things they absolutely don't need, overspending just to keep the budget up as high as possible so that they can then say, we not only need all the money we had last year, but we need even more. It's been well documented that that happens within government agencies. And that's egregious enough in the misuse of taxpayer dollars. But when it comes to Children's Aid Society, there are real human consequences to that policy, if indeed that is a policy they follow. And there's a lot of explaining to do when a memo like that comes forth. But as was profiled in the Toronto Star article yesterday, wrongly opening or leaving files open can have a damaging impact on these clients' lives. For example, some parents are separated from their kids. Some parents have to take time off work to meet with us when their files should have been closed. And some parents are unable to return home because of a false abuse claim. And all of these cases leave these families in emotional limbo, according to the employee who asked to be anonymous when outing this scenario. So all of that is, as I said, egregious enough because there are human lives at stake, families in turmoil. And then this morning, I pick up a copy of the Toronto Sun. Children's Aid gave baby girl to single man with criminal record, and she lived a childhood of horror as he abused her, eventually, apparently, on an almost nightly basis. Sam Pisano writes about this in the Toronto Star, the Toronto Sun. A jury found Makbul Hassan guilty 8 days ago of 13 criminal offenses for sexually and physically abusing the girl, who isn't biologically related to him, as well as assaulting her half-brother. The evidence apparently was overwhelming. The jury came back after only 4 hours of deliberation. The 20-year-old woman now, that's how old she is now, is seething with outrage at both Hassan and at the Toronto Children's Aid Society, because it granted him custody of her when she was 2 years old. At one point, due to his drug use and reports of trouble and prostitutes going in and out of the apartment, the children were taken away from him. He took a drug program, apparently was deemed to have passed the program, and the kids were given back to him. So here's a man with a history of drug use, criminal record, neighbors' reports of neglect and abuse, and he is given a young girl to raise. And he raised her, as she says, as his personal sex toy. Children's Aid ruined my life because I could have been adopted as a baby. Instead, they thought it was in my best interest to be placed into this man's care. He was a single man with a criminal record who had no connection to me. Why would he want to parent me? There's no doubt that there could be single men who could raise a child, who could raise a girl, and could do a very good job of it. I'm not talking about a single father. I'm talking about an adoptive person, a foster parent. But I have to guess that there might be a question or two raised if a single guy, first of all, wants to raise a little girl. And secondly, if a single guy with a criminal record and a drug abuse record wants to raise a little girl. So now we have a situation where, finally, with the evidence overwhelming, apparently, the perpetrator is brought to justice. CAS spokesman Dave Fleming said he couldn't comment on this case specifically due to confidentiality reasons. Isn't that handy for the people who work for Children's Aid Society? We can't comment, la-di-da, we'll go back to our job. There has got to be oversight on this organization. And if you work for Children's Aid Society and you get up every morning and you go to work to do this work because you care mightily about kids, you want to see kids raised in as safe and loving and warm an environment as they possibly can, and you try to protect kids from people who will harm them, that is good work to do. But no organization that has power over people's lives in that fashion should be able to operate with impunity, and they do. Who watches the watchers? Yesterday when I spoke about the Peel situation, didn't know about the one I'm telling you about now, it was just reported in the Sun today, somebody wrote to me and said, well, you kept saying the government, and they're not really a government organization. Well, to me, yes, they are. These quasi-supposedly separate organizations that, let's face it, couldn't operate if they didn't have 100% protection of the government in order to operate as basically police services and have all of this dictatorial control over the lives of families and little children could not operate without the government's big thumbs up. You couldn't do that. You can't go out as an ordinary individual and kidnap some kid out of a house and say, well, I believe that the child is in danger there, and I believe he should stay with this single guy with the drug problem in the criminal record. And that's what I'm going to do, and there's nothing you can do about it. You and I can't do that. Who would stop us? The government. So why doesn't the ombudsman have some form of oversight over Children's Aid Society? No one who has police power should be immune to oversight, exempt from oversight. The police are not. We give a tremendous amount of power to the police, and we have to, because we need them. And the vast majority of them go out every day to do a good job in an honest fashion. And some of them don't. Some of them are on the edge of being criminals, and they became cops instead. And you have to watch over the organization in order to root out the bad apples, to prosecute the cases when trouble takes place. And anybody in the police force who's honest and above board knows that that's required. Because it's just a check and balance on power that has to take place. But who really actually has right now the power to come into Children's Aid and find out who's the person who put that young girl in that situation? And shouldn't there be some consequence? I mean, I don't think oops cuts it, do you? Any number of people that you and I and society think are good people could end up not being good people. Who knew? But a single guy who's got prostitutes coming in and out of the apartment, is the subject of complaints of abuse by neighbors, who has a criminal record and a drug record, I don't know, call me crazy, but he should be flagged for having an 8-year-old girl in the house. In-depth radio, News Talk 1010. I'm Jerry Agar. The number's 872-1010. Here is Paul from Oshawa. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
My wife and myself used to do children aid as foster parents about years ago.
So you would take a child in for some period of time.
That's correct. And yeah. Our notion was, you know what, some of these kids really need to see a different life because some come from a hard life, and some, you know, their situation is just unfortunate. When we had some kids, the worker, you can get in touch with any worker, anyone, that we've had kids that we've actually had them sent back home by the intake worker, and then the worker shows up 3 months later saying, where's this child? I'm here to do an assessment. And we're like, the child is gone. And they're trying to ask you, well, why is the child gone? They shouldn't have been released. I needed to see the kids first. Well, you were always on vacation. We had one scenario where four kids were brought, was taken away from their parents because they had ringworm, and the doctors say, don't let them go to school because it's contagious because they were so young. And Children Aid was called in because the kids missed a few days of school. Before they look into it, they just took the kids away and disturbed the family for 8 months.
And then the family's in a position of having to fight to get their kids back.
That's correct. So, I mean, they're there to serve a good, But sometimes I look at them now as people who have badges to take away your kids. I'm sorry to say that.
Thanks for your call. See, there's so much of this. So many horror stories. And there are probably so many kids that have been saved because of Children's Aid. But this is not going to be improved until some sort of oversight is forced upon them. But recently we had an attempt to make that happen here in Ontario. And would the government do it? No. Why not? This is a government that has shown that there's a whole lot of oversight needed over them. The government of eHealth and Orange and the power scandals and all of that kind of stuff. So if we don't have watchers watching the watchers, and they have to be sort of watching one another, because you're never going to find that one person who's honest enough to watch them all, necessarily, or an office that would be honest enough to watch them all, there has to be a system of checks and balances. But it feels to me like the people at Children's Aid, while the concept is a good one, have been given too much power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Here is Glenn from Niagara.
Very well said, Jerry. I concur.
All right.
First and foremost, families missing work for these appointments to make CAS appointments. It's preposterous. I've lost all three of my children, and I'll never see them again.
What was the reason they gave for taking your children?
Likely to suffer physical harm.
All right.
That's the only reason. My wife and I never had any children. We've never had any drug, alcohol, criminal problems. They took her on a likely to suffer clause, all three of our children, at birth.
Wait a minute. I don't understand. You just said you didn't have children.
No. My wife and I got pregnant. During the pregnancy, they said, "What's your plan?" I said, "We rented a house. We plan on raising these children." They said, "Oh, no. No, no."
Well,
what do you mean? What do you mean, no? I said, let me get this straight. I said to them, Jerry, you're an adoption agency and a child protection agency? They said, yes, that's true. I said, well, it's a good scam you got going on here.
Well, how did you come in contact with Children's Aid before you'd even had the child?
I got a girl pregnant. And in the course of, they call it pregnancy planning.
I see.
Okay, and they have no legislative right until a baby has been born, but they impose themselves on families under pregnancy planning, because my wife was a Crown ward for more than 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and they had concerns about her behavior as a child, they came into our lives when we got pregnant.
And so you think that they make an awful lot of assumptions? Is that what you're saying?
That's all it was taken on. I mean, I have a clean driving record. I was in my 40s with no criminal records. I never, like I said, had children. My wife never had children. And I think because of the age difference between us, they had quite an attitude.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate your show.
Yeah, thank you. Now, in these stories, obviously, you're going to get an awful lot of conflicting evidence. If we were to talk to whoever the caseworkers were, they may have a different view of what he just said. However, there just seems to be an inadequate amount of oversight such that we can then have faith that the caseworkers are legitimate in the work they're doing. Here is Don from Peterborough.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a little insight to how actually Children's Aid has been doing this for over years without checking or confirming or even backing up or whatever. I had a caseworker named Terry Handy out of Bracebridge. Took me away from Bracebridge, put me on this work farm. It was called Corbett's Work Farm. I was there for 5 years, whipped, beat, electrocuted, shot with a BB gun. I was there until I was 12 years old from 7. And then 2 years after I left, they were shut down for abuse to kids. My sister from Bracebridge put down in Mississauga to a halfway house or to a foster home. And the lady's boyfriend was a pimp. My sister called me when she was 14. I had to literally go down there physically and get her the hell out of that house.
Well, wasn't anybody doing any kind of inspection on the places themselves?
You know what? When I was on that work farm, I literally went from that work farm to Terry Handy's farm somewhere up there and did his haying too. Like, I was just a freaking commodity for work. That was it. And then out you go. And I'm not kidding about being whipped, electrocuted with the cattle prod, and the fence line thing made to hold the girder while it shocked me, shot with a BB gun while I was working. These people are sick. There's nobody in Children's Aid checking these people out, man. I'm telling you, it's really messed up, and there should be some, like, very, very, some organization watching this.
Thanks for your call.
Kids are getting hurt by these people.
Don, good of you to call. Thanks for your call. Again, you don't know whether the stories you're told are true, unless it goes through a court case, as happened with the one reported in The Sun today. The evidence was overwhelming that the individual who is now going to be finally held responsible, Makbul Hassan, guilty of 13 criminal offenses for sexually and physically abusing a young girl. She's now 20, but she doesn't get her childhood back, and she was given over to the care, in quotation marks, of this man, despite the fact of a known drug and criminal record. And being a single guy with a drug and criminal record would seem to be not the best place to send a young girl. But they did. And she'll spend her life now dealing with that. Yes, the man is now brought to justice, which won't change things for her. And what do the caseworkers who put her in that home, what do they say now? Oh, don't know. Confidentiality issues. Maybe we'll learn something for the future. We got to go kidnap some more kids. This is In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. Thanks for being along. We'll get to Evelyn's news here in just a minute. I got quite a bit of feedback on this whole issue of Children's Aid. The story from yesterday, Peel Region, the accusation being that a memo shows that they were keeping cases open because that brought in more funding. It's not the best for the people, but it was all about the money. And then the story today, it's a horrific story, really, in the it's the cover story of the Toronto Sun of a young girl who was given over to be raised and ultimately abused on a nightly basis by a guy who was a known criminal and drug abuser. Neighbors had said he was an abuser, and yet that's where she had to spend her childhood years. Monday, we'll find out what the sentence will be for the abuser, Makbul Hassan, guilty of 13 criminal charges. But we have two problems here. We don't have adequate oversight by anybody with power of Children's Aid, it seems. And as someone wrote in a text message, children are the Children's Aid Society product.